Welcome to Business of Design. Business of Design is the world's best business training for interior design professionals like you. The Business of Design podcast offers immediate, actionable strategies and a glimpse into some of the many field-tested, proven systems you can implement to transform your business and your life. After the show, head to businessofdesign.com and get started with the BOD 15-step project management strategy and 6 foundational programs. Together, they deliver the systems, procedures, and strategies you need to run a successful, highly profitable design business. There's no theory here. The complete BOD business model is yours through Business of Design membership. Business of Design. There's only one. And now, your BOD Advocate-in-Chief, Kimberly Selden.
Hello, you fabulous interior design professional. Welcome to Business of Design. We have an amazing guest today, and this was really timely for me, the conversation with Courtney, because I have been noticing for some time that my morning routine consists of things that are not exactly worthwhile. You know what I mean? I start doing a little doom scrolling through the newspaper and read a few too many articles. And then I play my connections, which is really fun. I might do a crossword puzzle. And before you know it, I'm having a second or third cup of coffee and an hour and a half has gone by. And this is the time of day where I am feeling most productive. So do I really want to spend it like that? So recently I became aware of this 5 a.m. club thing, phenom, whatever it is. Maybe it's an old thing. It's been around forever, but you've probably heard of it. This idea of the first hour of the day and how you can use it more effectively. And the author is a guy named Robin Sharma. I thought it was a female, I assumed, but I saw a video of Robin. And anyway, I am not a 5 a.m. clubber, but I have become a 6 a.m. clubber. And the idea is this: I get up at 6 a.m. and I do 20 minutes of vigorous exercise. Well, vigorous is a bit of a stretch, but I do turn on a dance party on my fitness app or a little HIIT or cardio bump, that kind of thing, for 20 minutes. And then 20 minutes of meditation, which feels for me like 17 hours. That one's the tough one, I have to tell you. And then the last 20 minutes, this is really exciting. The last 20 minutes, you're supposed to do something new, something you haven't done before. Challenge yourself. Finish something that's been dangling. So for example, one of the things on my list, I'm now keeping a list of the things I want to do, is to figure out how to add music to videos on Instagram. I know you're already doing that. You're way ahead of me, but I haven't done it yet and I got to figure it out. I'm also going to figure out some of the different Spanish tenses I'm trying to wrap my head around. So I'll spend 20 minutes on one particular past tense and then another day, 20 minutes on another past tense. And I was doing this for about 10 days. And then, you know, the story, I kind of fell off the wagon. I went away to Palm Springs, had a super fun time with friends. We stayed up really late. Tequila may have been involved. And suddenly I'm no longer a 6 a.m. clubber. But I was encouraged by this conversation because I know I'm not the only one who struggles to focus. And I know I'm not the only one who is committed to living my best life and trying new things. And so I think you're really going to like Courtney McDermott. She is an award-winning author. She's a TEDx speaker. She's a mind-body expert who helps the world's leading organizations and creatives disrupt old patterns of behavior. I love that. And we can't grow a healthy business if we're not willing to disrupt what isn't working. I mean, that's kind of everything we teach at Business of Design, right? So her latest book is called Give Yourself Permission. And she's a lot of fun. I know you're going to enjoy meeting Courtney. And on Instagram, Courtney McDermott. For more information about Courtney, just go to the show notes. There's lots of stuff there. We're going to get into some things that are a little woo-woo, like, you know, what you think about grows, right? If you're spending your days focusing on the negative is going to feel bigger. And if you're spending your days focusing on the positive, it's going to feel bigger. So listen, it's a struggle. It's not perfect. It's never been perfect. It would be really helpful also if y'all could think about subscribing to us, liking us, giving us a shout out over and over again. You know, we sort of come to the realization that Business of Design is like Ozempic. Nobody's really talking about it, but everybody's using it. You know what I'm saying? So help us out, like a girl, will you? And we're really glad you're here. Let's hear from Cheryl some announcements.
Thanks, Kimberly. Well, this Friday, March 8th, which is International Women's Day, Kimberly is going to be speaking at the Empowered Design Summit, which is hosted by the Pacific Design Center in partnership with Women in Luxury Design. This is going to be a series of interviews with empowered women talking about how they navigate the balancing act of business and life. It's going to be an amazing event. I know that they're expecting a really good turnout. So if you are interested, please check out the details at businessofdesign.com and make sure you register. I know Kimberly would love to see you there. For our BOD members, or if you're not a member, please join us for this. BOD Live is coming up on March 20th, and we're going to be talking about Trade Day. It's one that I've been getting a lot of questions about lately. And mostly about the order of the process. How do you conduct a trade day and have your trades come on site to with the purpose of getting you their quotes if you haven't done the design yet? So we want to add some clarity around how that works and how you can really grow the scope of your project on trade day, because we know we want each project to be as profitable as possible. So we're going to have that conversation together. Again, make sure you take the course first. We've assigned it as a little bit of homework, but make sure you join us March 20th. If you're not yet a member, please do sign up, become a member, and join us for these monthly coaching calls. It's really an opportunity for us to connect with our peers, answer any questions that you may have, and provide that spot coaching to make sure you have clarity on all of the systems we teach here at Business of Design. Thanks so much.
Well, I am very excited to welcome Courtney McDermott to the show. She's an award-winning author, a TEDx speaker, mind body expert. She's got a couple of books now, Courtney, I understand. The first one is Change Starts Within You, and the second one, Give Yourself Permission. Courtney, really nice to see you. First of all, tell everybody where you are.
I am up in the north of Italy. I'm in a town called Bassano di Grappa. It's about an hour from Venice. It's a really, really beautiful place. It has a river running through it. It's idyllic. Yeah.
I would like to give myself permission to come and visit you there because it sounds kind of wonderful. Yeah.
Definitely give yourself permission for sure. It's great. And I'm thinking about getting a new place and having retreats there. And it's really beautiful. It's in another place. It's called Monfumo, which is from Monte Fumo. It's like the mount of the fire, like the fire mount. It's really a gorgeous, gorgeous place. So come visit.
Okay. Sure. A retreat, a Business of Design retreat sounds really, really good. You don't have to ask me twice. I will say yes. We're going to talk Excellent. About the power of putting your attention in the right place. I know you work with organizations and creatives to disrupt old patterns of behavior and help them grow healthy businesses. How does this apply to someone who's running a business?
The attention or how people start to kind of shift in other ways? Are you talking specifically about where we're putting our attention that you mentioned a moment ago? Or
yeah. Where should we begin to think about our attention, where it's going? How do we know where our attention is going?
Wow, that's a really great question. You know where your attention is going based on the results that you're seeing in your life. And a lot of people don't, they kind of think the results are sort of, oh, this is just what's happening. But it has so much to do with where you're directing or not directing your attention. And of course, there's actually a part of your brain called the reticular activating system that actually its sole function is to find the answers to the questions you're asking and to find matches for what is kind of predominantly moving through your thought cycles. And so as you're placing your attention in specific places, it's actually saying, it's actually saying, put your attention here, right? Because we're exposed to a gargantuan amount of data every day. And so this part of our brain says, okay, let me keep it a little simple here. Let me bring to your attention what it is that you're actually interested in. And so if you want to begin to understand where your attention is going, that's a good way, right? But it's also just noticing some of the other ways that our attention is kind of taken from us, right? So we know that businesses, I mean, this is probably what businesses invest the most amount of money in, right? It's just getting your attention. And so it's such a valuable resource. And one of the keys to really living a life by design is learning how to master your attention, right? There's a line in the second book when I say we're not paying attention to our attention. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so, so simple, but it's just, where is my attention right now? Am I here right now in the moment? Like before we started this, you were talking about being in the moment and planting yourself. And it's like, if you ask yourself that question right now, even as you're listening, you know, are you right here right now?
Okay. Well, this brings to mind this situation I found myself in years ago. I had a thriving, successful interior design practice, and I decided I was going to launch this online magazine that was about design and travel. And this wasn't completely unconnected to my business, but it was a whole new venture. And I thought that I would be able to keep my interior design business running at optimum levels while I launched this new endeavor. But it did seem at the end of a 4-year process that turning my attention and pivoting toward the magazine changed what was happening in my interior design business. Is that an example of how, you know, we have a finite amount of attention, and by pivoting towards something new and exciting, you might be neglecting something that you think is really important?
Yeah, you could be as well neglecting something. I think one of the important things is, especially if you do think that's still important, whatever it is that you've nurtured up until that point, it's understanding what's the crossover between these areas that I'm so passionate about. Because especially, I'm sure a lot of people listening to you are, you know, multi-passionate. They've got a lot of things that they would love to do, right? And so if we just kind of start things and then leave them and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's more about what brought me to this initial piece, and what's bringing me to this second piece? And is there a common thread? Because most of the time we're going to find one. And again, if our attention goes into that common thread versus the initiative per se, right? It goes into, why am I doing this? What about this is so exciting for me? And then you'll see that actually, instead of one diminishing and the other potentially growing, or vice versa, or whatever the situation is, you'll see that this gives them both that fertile ground to grow in.
Okay. But the key
is
to be aware of exactly where my attention is going, which is kind of a habit you have to develop, isn't it?
Yes. I think it's definitely a practice, especially because we're so unaccustomed to doing it. And so we tend to think that we're not the ones, you know, living life. And it's like almost like it's just it's happening to us, right? It's like these things are just happening to us. And so if someone's in that place where they're feeling that way, one of the first things is like, whoa, yes, there's a whole kind of retraining that takes place. But the great news about it is that there's a lot less training required there, because of the fact that it's sort of amplified by you being excited about something, you being genuinely really in it, you know? And so I think that's lots of times what's maybe even missing, because people end up a lot of times doing things they think they should do. I talk about that a lot in my first book, because like I had collected all the gold stars, I was doing all the things, and yet I was desperately unhappy. I was like, I had all the things, but I was so unhappy, and it was not a life by design. And so I started, you know, that was back in 2017 when I published that first book. And it was like how I actually started to redesign my life to match what I cared about. Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious about the title, Give Yourself Permission. How does that fit into all of this?
That's a good question. So I got this idea for this book sort of as a flash of insight, you know, because I had been working with so many, I work with, you know, thousands of women, huge audience of women and men, but predominantly women. I really like working with women because I feel like so much of the time we don't give ourselves permission, and we sort of end up in this place where we feel like we have to do all the things. We feel like we're not perfect enough, you know, as by any whatever standards we're measuring ourselves on, right? And it's like, I really wanted a book out there with the teachings and understandings that I've had, because there's a lot of also science in there, but there's a lot of practical application, and it's delivered in a really simple tone. And so it's like, Okay, understanding some of how these operating systems work so that you can start to give yourself permission to, for example, believe differently. Like you might have certain dominant beliefs in your life that are just not serving you. Give yourself permission to change your mind. Give yourself permission to do what you love, right? Because so much of the time we're like, oh no, that's just a passion project. That's just a hobby. Like, no, that is actually where the juice is, right? And so how do you do that? And then, you know, the next chapter, for example, is how to give yourself permission to make a lot of money doing what you love, right? Because they're not mutually exclusive, you know, and you should be making a lot of money doing what you love, right? So all of these like came as a sort of download, as a structure for the book. But then the book itself developed in a very interesting way because it was like linear. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, you know, this presence. And kind of, I would say a lot of the writing and definitely a lot of my speaking right now feels very much just like a channeling, you know, like I'm just getting information. Of course I have all of the experience accumulated, the learnings, et cetera, the studies and things like that. But then it's like, oh, wow, now something else is kind of taking over. And I really wanted as well for readers to know that that's possible for them.
Mm-hmm. I would like
because
to
we
dig-
think we have to toil. Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to dig into the chapter called Give Yourself Permission to Make Money, because there's a lot of interior design professionals listening right now who maybe don't even know that somehow they have denied themselves that opportunity. So tell us what's inside that chapter. Give us a little sneak peek.
Yeah, well, so I used to have a very poor relationship with money, right? And money is, again, what we're looking at here is like, it's information. It's telling you, it's giving you information about you. Your relationship with money is giving you information also about your, how much love you're allowing in, how much intimacy, your sense of worthiness, all this kind of stuff. And so I go through some very specific principles in the book. I actually just gave I just did a live with one of my friends on Instagram, because we both run, you know, multiple seven-figure businesses. We're like, okay, let's talk to people about how they can start doing this. And so I would say the greatest thing to understand, you know, if we can talk more, we can dig in as much as we want. I think the greatest thing to understand is like how you are perceiving your own sense of worthiness and your own connection with this four source energy that is working through you and that is providing. And that sounds a little bit out there in a way, because sometimes you're like, wait, but what are you talking about? Are you talking about God? Are you talking about, and I do call this energy God as well. But what I'm talking about is we have this total trust, right? For almost all of what's occurring within us and outside of us, because we have to in order to really survive in this form, right? So I trust that my heart's going to keep beating. You know, I trust that unless I have, you know, some coronary disease or something, like I'm trusting, I'm not thinking about it, right? I'm trusting that the trillions of biochemical reactions that are occurring in my body every second are going to continue to do what they need to do for my functioning, for my body to function well. I'm trusting. So, and again, I'm not just trusting what's happening internally. I'm trusting what's happening externally, right? Like I don't go to bed at night thinking, is the sun going to come up? Is it not going to come up tomorrow? Is it going to come up? Not going to come up. I don't do that, right? Like no part of me is trying to develop a five-year plan to make sure that it all stays on track, because right, otherwise what's going to happen, right? So I present these examples not to be flippant about it, but to say, whoa, like this, whatever you want to call this energy, this force, whatever you want to call it, it is orderly. It provides, you know, to the sun, the tide, the moon, like all of it, right? It provides through nature. I mean, just go outside and look at what's happening there. I mean, if you look at a plant for 5 minutes, if you really, really look at it, you will be like, what is that? I was looking at a plant at my friend's today. He has these beautiful plants in his place. And he was like, and I don't know the name of it because I'm terrible with names of plants, but he was like, look at this, look at how it's, he's like the leaves in front, there's holes in those leaves so that the ones in the back get the sunlight, because the ones in the back don't have holes. They don't have spaces. They're full leaves. Wow. He's like, it's making the space for the ones behind. I mean, come on, right? So here's what I'm suggesting. The more we let go of this illusion of control, of this idea that I need to make the money, I need to do this thing to make the money, when we start to say, You know, it truly is. I'm provided for. And I know this is hard. I had a real trouble reinventing these beliefs. And I talk about how I did it, you know, kind of extensively in the book. But it's like, when we start to understand that, especially when we're doing what we love, that this energy comes in abundance in so many ways. I mean, I have so many stories about this in my own life, my clients' lives, of like how things that just you would never have thought could be a possibility in terms of even earning potential. Like people come to me with, you know, things like, I don't know, a job where you say, well, this kind of job can only, you know, you max out. This is the ceiling. This is the amount that, an expert can make in this field. I'm like, oh, no. You can make like hundreds of times that if you wanted to. It's just your openness to the possibility and your openness and trust, which, you know, we could call faith, we could call whatever, but I like calling it trust. Your trust in this force energy, which really is yours as well. So again, comes back to a fun, both of my books dive into like confidence, but it's about trust, because confidence comes from confidere. It means with full trust or faith or reliance. So it's like learning how to really trust in that is the biggest thing you can do to enhance your wealth. Like if we didn't talk about anything else, but listeners got that, that's the biggest thing to look at, you know, as again, in terms of your attention and shifting it. And we can talk more about it if you want, but that would be my first and like most important insight around that.
And I think it's also true that wherever you put your attention, that's the thing that's going to grow, right? So if I put my attention on, I'm not good with money, I can't make money, I won't ever get to make this much money, only other people who work in this industry make this kind of money, that will grow. If I put my attention on, the world is abundant, my career is abundant, there's no limit to what I can accomplish financially with my business, then that's going to grow.
100%. And I think what's important for people to really recognize, because I do a lot of work with like thoughts and reorganizing thoughts, it's like, it's not enough to have an affirmation and to repeat an affirmation. And I think a lot of people get trapped and really frustrated with that message, because it's like, you could stand in front of the mirror and say, you know, like, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me, whatever it is, right? Like, until your face is blue. But if you don't actually believe it at a fundamental sort of unconscious or subconscious level, then those are not the results you're going to see, because the majority of the time, what's going to be happening is, whether you're aware of it or not, you are going to be in another loop that doesn't represent that possibility to you. So one of the things I tell people when they're first starting out with redirecting these things is, and there are many ways to do it, but one of the things is I say, ask the question, rather than saying like, I'm wealthy and I'm, you know, all this, when maybe you're really struggling to pay the bills. And there's, again, there's a lot of disruption in the psyche, because there's like, but this is what's happening, but I'm trying to convince myself over here. It can be very hard for people to handle that. And I think most people can't actually do that. So it's like, ask a different question. What would it look like if I was totally wealthy? Feel into that, feel into the physical sensations it provokes in your body. Mm-hmm. Start redirecting in those ways, and also using really key moments of your day to do that as well. Because there are times during your day when you're going in and out of frequencies that are highly programmable places for the psyche. So, you know, first thing in the morning, and I can talk about this if you want, but first thing in the morning, right before you go to bed, really kind of using that prime real estate in your psyche to reprogram with these better questions that are, again, getting not only your reticular activating system working, but a lot of other forces that we can't totally understand.
I've heard people say before that the subconscious is extremely powerful. And so what you said about the affirmations is often where people leave it. You know, you stand in the mirror and you say, I am worthy, I am lovable, I am wealthy, whatever it is. In my experience, I actually have to act as if I am those things in order to have it change for me, right? So it's not, I do have to take action. I have to act differently. I almost have to act in contrast to the way I feel. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It is so beautiful that you just said that, because that's another thing that I think is so important for people to understand. It's like, the person who creates that kind of wealth in her life, what is she doing? How is she showing up? How does she walk? How does she talk? What does she say? How does she spend her time?
Mm-hmm.
does she have a lot of space? And the answers will be like, I mean, they'll be very revealing. And if anyone who starts asking themselves, again, asking those questions is what allows the rest of you to come along for the ride. Because you say a person like this, they would take different decisions. They would maybe eat differently. They would go to a different place. They would invest in a different way, or they would save in some way, whatever it is. But you will know what that, I want to say future you, but again, that's sort of a little bit misleading if we look at like space, time, you know, reality. But just say the you you're becoming right now, the you you've decided to become. So I love that you said that. I think that is so accurate and so beautiful that you shared that.
I'm also wondering, you know, as you know, everybody listening to this runs an interior design business. And so we all have clients. Right. I'm wondering how do we use this in our work with our clients? What are some things that we can do to bring better attention to our projects?
One of the greatest things you could do, and it's so perfect as a, you know, just the interior design field. This, I feel like if I was talking to any other professionals out there, it wouldn't be as perfect because you really get it. Space, like with your clients, when you speak to them, that space in between, you know, there's a beautiful Zen saying, it's the space in between the bars that holds the tiger. And it's the silence between the notes that makes the music. And out of that silence is really kind of where all of creation emerges, right? It's this thing we call space, but actually it's a vibrant, alive, infinite potential place. It's like the zero point field. So when we're working with clients, really in any field, but I think especially here, it's like really getting quiet. Like noticing the space, the person, who are you creating for? What is there? Because that's going to set you apart. I notice like with my clients, like I think the intuitive nature that we all have, and I talk a lot as well about intuition in both my books, and how to cultivate more intuition. But it's like when you really get, you can call it present, or you create that space around things is when you can design things so much better. Mm-hmm. And you can design your relationships so much better. Like I once heard this, I don't remember where I heard it from, but I loved it so much, which was like, especially between women and men, because lots of times women will like kind of, you know, we'll rush in because we sort of read each other's thoughts and we're like, okay, yeah, no, I get it. And we're sort of bouncing all the time off of each other. And I heard this relationship advice forever ago, which was listen, just listen. And when the guy stops, like give him like at least 10, 15 seconds of just silence. And he'll start again and he'll tell you all these things. The same goes pretty much for everybody. And also, especially like introverts or you know, again, I'm not trying to be like a sexist here, but it's like the space is what allows for those insights and those intuitive hits to come forth. And that's going to guide your design journey. And it's going to guide, it's going to co-create, it's going to guide in a co-creative way that design journey with your client.
So it's about listening. It's about obviously observing visual cues by having your attention where you are, but it's also about giving space for the clients to say everything they think.
You got it there exactly. It's this deep listening is exactly also what's going to connect you to that force source energy I was talking about when I was talking about money. Because when you start to really listen, not in a way that you have an agenda, but you're really, really listening, it's like this awesome way to just groove with everything that is. Mm-hmm. You know, people talk about like meditation or whatever. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about a dance. It's like you're just grooving with it. And listening is real listening is like that. It's like, oh, I'm just open to whatever is going to come out here and let's see. Because we don't know, and that's the magic and the majesty of it. It's like we don't know, but if we can be in that place precisely to your point of deep listening, then we can create things that we couldn't even possibly have conceived, you know, on a kind of like individual form of human consciousness level, if that makes sense.
I've mentioned before that I will take improv classes. And one of the things it does for you is it teaches you how to really, really listen. They ask you not to pre-program what you're going to do or what you're going to say, but to actually just listen to your partner. And then whatever that person gives you, you have to yes and it. So I might be thinking that the scene is going to take place in a coffee shop and I'm going to be someone who's a profuse sweater and my clothes are going to be soaked through. And my partner says something like, wow, I've never seen your skin look so dry. And suddenly this idea that I've got this funny thing in my head that I'm going to be someone who's profusely sweating, it's not going to work. And if I stick to that, I've ruined the scene. So I have to really just be open and listen and accept, okay, what funny thing could be the reason for my skin being so dry, you know, which is such a crazy, weird example. But anyway, improv, it's so good to help us be able to receive information.
Oh, exactly. And I love that you're bringing that up because I feel like so much of the time, instead of playing, we're performing. Mm. And I talk about this in the book too. It's like when you stop performing, we have these prescribed roles that we think we need to live into. We think an interior designer looks like this, does this, you know, goes there. Maybe not you. Maybe that's not actually how you're going to play this one out. And there's a huge, like when we move into a place in our, especially in our chosen vocation, if we're lucky enough to, you know, understand what that is, when we move into a place where it's no longer the scripted performance and it's play, we are playing. This is again opening up to like, wow, like look what's in front of me now. I mean, there's so many days that I literally have to keep myself in bed. You know, be like really early in the morning. And I'm like a little kid. I'm like, I gotta stay in bed because I know it's so early. But then there's this other part of me is like, I'm so excited to get up and not even about anything in particular. Like there might be, yeah, things going on, but it's not the specific, you know, whatever it is. It's not, oh, I'm gonna be on this stage or going here or whatever. It's like, I'm just so excited about also not knowing, like, cause I don't know how any of that's going to go. And I don't know how the day's going to go. And it's this, it's like you almost like that line in the Bible of like, unless you become again as children, you will not inherit the kingdom. And it's like going back to actually our essential nature, which is one of play. So when you do things like improv, it's so fabulous because you're like, oh, right. I actually just get to play. And guess what? We actually just get to play in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like we really, really do. When we get this understanding, when we really get it, it's like, oh my God, I'm just playing all the time. It is really that sensation. And it's incredible. It's wonderful.
Is there anything we can do in our physical environments to help us nurture this new thought process, this new way of paying attention and be more playful and be more present? Is there anything we can do in our physical spaces to help us achieve that?
I definitely think there's a very clear and direct correlation and connection between the setup of your physical space and what it provokes in you, and your ability to see new possibilities, to explore and to play. And even just to get your mind like in a place where it's more receptive to those possibilities. So I remember, I'm pretty sure in my first book, I talk about this specifically, this relationship between, you know, how you set up your space and how that affects you. But for sure, you know, you'll notice, like anyone listening will notice, like if you have a clean, orderly space, you're just, your mental clarity and acuity is just so much greater as a result. And it's not, you know, and again, chicken, egg, whatever, maybe the place was set up because in that moment, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter which one, but we know that there's a direct relationship between these. And we also know there's a direct relationship between like, is there a lot of clutter? Because there's going to be a lot of clutter maybe in your mind. And it could be even orderly clutter, but maybe that's what you want for how, but there's definitely a very clear relationship. And I think making sure as best as we can that spaces are reflective of this possibility as well to like reinvent yourself and open yourself up to these new ideas like that we're talking about. Because even we notice when you change things. I remember it was probably about 20 years ago. I remember some studies that I was reading about just the impact of changing lights, the lighting in your space. and what it did for it. It was an article about productivity and career and whatever. But I just remember reading and thinking, like, I know that's true. And anyone listening to this, because of the nature of what you do, knows that's true. The minute you change a light, it changes your mood. It changes everything. It also obviously is signaling your body in totally different ways. Because for example, if I have a really bright light on, my body's going to be producing a lot of serotonin, right? If I have a super, which means I'm excited. It's time to get up. Like, it's time to do something, whatever. And also that can, you know, that can be great. And it can also be a little less great. But if I know that I've got a super mellow one on, I know that my body's going to start producing some melatonin and I'm going to start maybe relaxing a little bit. So it's like paying attention to this, like, brain body chemistry as well. And again, you don't even have to know the chemistry. Just notice the impact that it has, because you will, and you do because of what you do. So
I love that. We love to end every episode with something we call design intervention, which is just a great piece of advice for listeners.
So there was one line that you and I were talking about briefly off air, which was this idea that, you know, about people being kind of acutely aware and always trying to see if you can assume the best of someone, because that's going to change your relationship with them and the environment. And I think that is a point that we could settle into, you know, at the end of this conversation, because it's so apropos to design. People feel what you're putting out there, and whether they're consciously aware of it or not is irrelevant. The energy that you're projecting is actually the most valuable currency you have. So if you are really investing in the view you are becoming now, it's going to be felt, and it's going to ripple into not just the spaces that you're creating, but the impact that you have on the lives of everyone you get to work with. And so, yeah, keeping that in mind, like, always, it's there, it's real. And yeah.
Always assume the best in people. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make up a story anyway, why not make up a story that this person is doing the very best they can, and they're just lovely in all kinds of ways. And maybe they're just having a moment, and you can give them space to have a bad moment.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so beautiful when we do this, because people are going to feel that they're going to feel a kind of acceptance no matter where they are. And it will shift things in their own consciousness as well.
Pay attention to your attention. That's what I'm going to leave with.
Awesome.
It was awesome to meet you. I look forward to seeing you in Italy one day.
Same. You're fantastic. Thank you for putting out all this really great content. And thank you for everyone who tuned in. I'm really, really glad to be here.
Thanks for listening and supporting the BOD mission to improve the industry one design business at a time. If you're ready to implement an exact business model for running a streamlined, profitable business, field tested by thousands of design professionals around the world, head to businessofdesign.com and get started today. It's time to dramatically improve your business and transform your life.